Kosek, and also the leader. This was the Tsarist Russia, where there were all sorts of gazeres against the Jews, and he was always there to defend the Jews in the halls of government and the like. So he was a great, great gadol. They say almost every Jewish family in Russia had a picture of Yitzhak Elchanan in their house. He was a great, great tzaddik and gadol and posay and asher on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the story goes, he once got a shayla from the community. He once got a shayla from the community, something like, well, let's call it a relatively routine meat and milk shayla. No, milk and spoon, it's probably a little more complicated, but milk and spoon, flesh and bone, whatever it is a kosher or tray. And he's wondering, why are they sending me a shayla that they certainly could have asked their local rabbi? Well, why are they asking the shayla? So he figured out, I know that this rabbi was just hired. I know that there are people who want to get rid of him. So he probably made a mistake in a Pesach Halacha. And they not only get the right answer from me, which they'll then use to humiliate the Rav. He reconstructed this whole scenario. So what do? If I give them the wrong answer, I'm giving them the wrong answer. They're going to have something great. If I give them the right answer, I'm going to get the Rav in trouble. So what do? So this is what he did. Listen to what he did. He wrote them a letter giving the wrong answer, which is his guess what the Rav said. After he wrote them a letter, he then sent a telegram giving the right answer. And in the telegram he said, I'm sorry, in my letter you're going to get the wrong psak. He says, I made a mistake, but the telegram is the right psak. So they get the right psak first, so they know exactly what to do. But they can't use it against the Rav, because even the Gadol Hador said, he made a mistake. So this way, Yitzhak Elchanan was willing to embarrass himself by making a mistake in halacha, in order that this young Rav shouldn't get in trouble. But in order that people shouldn't have the wrong shot, he sent the telegram first. Right? This is such an example of how a chacham reconstructs the whole situation and is willing to improvise himself. Right? Another example, the Gadol Hador after Yitzhak Elchanan, well, it's hard to say the Gadol Hador, but the Chaim Leisher Brzezinski, along with the Chaim, were the Gedolei Hador of the generation afterwards. Chaim Ozer was the one that got all the yeshivos into Vilna, and then Shanghai during World War II. Just tremendous. In fact, my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Ritterman, had this chus. He met Rav Chaim Ozer when Rav Ritterman was a young man. And he said, if you went to Rav Chaim Ozer's house in Vilna, it was the most amazing thing. You walk into his dining room, and it's a very long table, a very long table. And imagine you have like 20 people at each side of the table. Some people are asking a mishayla and learning, and other people are collecting money, and third people is asking an eitzah about tzedaka, and there's a medical shayla. And he's like playing these 20 games of chess at the same time. He's answering this and answering this. He's also writing and doing his own learning at the same time and talking on the phone. He's doing all these things, and at some point somebody stopped talking because they figured he wasn't taking it in. And he said, no, go back. He's doing these 50 things at the same time. So he's just a phenomenally brilliant genius. And yeshiva guys, not only the best, used to come to him to talk and learning. And one time he was giving a shir, and he said, the Gemara is on Daf, Chaf Beis on the Beis. And one of the geniuses said, no, it's not Chaf Beis on the Beis, it's Chaf Gimel on the Aleph. And he said, let's go and have him. He wanted to prove what Chaim Moshe wants. So Chaim Moshe said, no, I'm sure you're right. I'm getting old, my memory isn't so good. Of course, after they checked the safer, Chaim Ozer was right, and the guy was wrong. Chaim Ozer said, I'll just say that I'm wrong. So this boy should not be embarrassed. Just this amazing thing, how the gadol is willing to take the embarrassment, not to hurt the feelings of a youngster. I'll tell you one other of Chaim Ozer's story. Again, apropos of nothing, but the pasuk says, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When you mention the Tzadik, you should bless him. I want to tell you one story. Chaim Ozer, who was, as they say, was the Posek Hador, the time of Chavetz Chaim, and the Gadol Hador, was not a public speaker. He never gave drushes. He did not like to give drushes. And he was not what you would call a hearer for Chokin person. But there's one person that we know that he made from. And this is an amazing thing. This is after the outbreak of World War II, when Hitler was already invading Poland. There was a man from the United States who was non-religious, but his job was to distribute money from America in different parts of Europe. And he was a Mechallel Shabbos. And because Rav Chaim Reuser was very involved in the distribution of millions of dollars of money, so he had to meet with Rav Chaim also. And in the middle of their conversation, his name was Dr. Samuel Schmidt from Cincinnati. He was a distributor of money. In the middle of their conversation, Rav Chaim Reuser says, "Dr. Schmidt, do you mind if I call you Reb Shmuel? Reb Shmuel is like a title of respect." So Dr. Schmidt started crying because he felt, "I'm a Mechallel Shabbos. I'm not deserving to be called Reb Shmuel by the Gadol Hador." And Rav Chaim Reuser says, "What do you mean you're not a good Jew? You come from America. You risk your life to be in a place of war. You want to give tzedakah. Do you think you're not a chashavim? Do you think you're not important? Do you think that God does not value what you're doing? Of course you're Reb Shmuel. You're not just somebody." Dr. Schmidt said, because of Rav Chaim Moser's statement, he became the Baal Shuva. He became a Shomer Shabbos. Because he said that Rav Chaim Moser made him feel that he was chashav, that he was valuable, that he was worthy, that he was good. And then he wanted to live up to that covet. So you see, you can make a person friend, not necessarily by giving them speeches, and by giving them lectures, and by giving them shiurim, and by giving them musr. But a person can change his life by a sense of their chashivas, by a sense of how beloved they are by Hashem. And the more we can show kavod to people, to see their good points, to see the godless that Hashem put within the neshama of a Jew, the more we will be able to influence people and help people and bring them up. Okay, so that's a good thing. I think a very important machshava that you're not makarev people by showing them how bad they are. You're makarev people by showing them how good they are. And then they want to grow into that goodness. When a person feels they're being patronized or insulted or degraded, they will want to move away. But if you show how chashuv they are, then they want to be connected. Okay, so that's something to think about. Then you do. Well, first of all, it's relevant even in your own immediate families, how you raise your children, etc. And certainly, if you ever want to help another Jew find the derech of Torah and mitzvahs, this is the derech that you have to always remember. Okay, have a good week.